Good morning, everyone. Very happy Sunday and very happy October. It is, ooh, I got to turn my calendars over. It is officially October 1. And what we're going to do now is greet one another on the board while I play our opening song, Awakening by Deva Premal and Mitten.
Calling of the mystic awakening in the flowering of the heart, everybody here melting into presence, overflowing effervescence, rising in love.
So again, it's really good to see everyone here. Usually what I do after playing our opening song is I read a statement of purpose, but I'm going to skip that today. And the reason I'm going to skip that today is that our purpose and core values is the reading today. So Reverend Ruby will get to that a little later. So I'm going to move directly into the announcements now. And in fact, we have quite a few announcements today. There's a lot going on right now in Awakening Together. First of all, if you guys are in the Gentle Healing Group, then you know that the book I am reading from right now is In the World, But Not of It, by Gina Lake. And also, if you've read the tip for today, you know that a portion of today's tip came from Gina's book. And I selected Gina's book as my current reading for the Gentle Healing Group because Gina is so good at pointing out the ego in our minds. And seeing the ego in our minds is really important because if we don't see it, we tend to just believe it and think and act from it. So I perceive this as one of Gina's talents, really pointing out the ego. And the reason I'm mentioning this right now is because, of course, as you all know, is one of our retreat leaders at the Awakening Together Fall Retreat. And what I want to remind you of now is the last day to register for the Awakening Together Fall Retreat is this Thursday, October 5th. Firm. Every year we have people who write and say, "Can I register?" in the last 2 weeks. And the answer is no. And the reason for that is because of our contract with the retreat center, the Franciscan Retreat Center. They require final numbers. Our final numbers are due to them on October 6th. They require final numbers. And then when it comes to final numbers, they're not really flexible. They don't even like to add a single meal. So because of our contract with them and because of the way they operate, Thursday, this week, this week, this week, October 5th, Thursday, October 5th is the last day that you can register for our fall retreat. Of course, as you know, our fall retreat is actually three retreats. We have Gina Lake from October 20th, 23rd, Regina Don Akers from October 23rd to 26th, and then Bob Ferguson and Tess Hughes from October 26th to 29th. And remember, Tess is coming all the way from Ireland to be with us. Also, there are discounts for Awakening Together members. If you are a member, you get a discounted rate to the Regina Don Akers retreat, and you get a discounted rate to the Bob Ferguson and Tess Hughes retreat. Or if you sign up for all three retreats, you get an even bigger discount. Also, I just want to say, I do not have a crystal ball and I cannot predict the future, but there is a good chance that this may be the last retreat of this type that we do. Next year, of course, we're doing the Israel pilgrimage. And then there's a lot of feeling about having much smaller retreats in like a retreat house. So again, this week, Thursday, October 5th, the last opportunity to sign up for this fall retreat. So please connect carefully with your heart. Yeah, and I see Kathy wants a silent retreat. Yeah, I think we'll have different types of very small retreats, at least for the foreseeable future. That's feeling more like the guidance now. So this may be our last fall retreat of this type. Also, the Member Board of Trustees has decided that each year we will close the Awakening Together Sanctuary during our fall retreat so that our paid staff is able to attend the retreat without any work conflicts. This year, our sanctuary will be closed beginning on Sunday, October 22nd. And it will remain closed through Sunday, October 29th at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, which is 2 p.m. Pacific. So although we will be closed most of the day on that second Sunday, October 29th, we will be open in the evening. We'll open up with the Mighty Companions, and then we'll have a full evening of programming on October 29th, a full evening of programming. Our movie discussion group, in fact, will be that night. And if you haven't heard yet, which I think maybe you haven't, this month's movie is going to be Revolver. Kathy's asking, will the radio be working? I guess that depends on if everything goes well. We will leave it on. However, we'll all be in Colorado Springs. So if something happens, like the electricity goes out or something like that, Francine will be there with us, Ken, Rebecca, whether we can get it started again, we'll see. So the intention is for the radio to be working. How's that? And then we'll have to leave it to everything else to see. But yeah, we'll intend to leave the radio running all week. Also is one exception to the sanctuary closure. The one exception to the closure that I just announced is that we will be open on Tuesday night of that week for gentle healing. We're not going to skip gentle healing. However, the meal time at the retreat is the same time as when our gentle healing meeting usually is, and we don't want to miss meal time at the retreat. So gentle healing is going to be at a different time. The sanctuary will open up on Tuesday, October 26th at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Probably just some music playing. That will give you all a chance to gather. And then gentle healing will begin at 9:20 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 6:20 Pacific. And it will only last about an hour. We'll skip the individual sharings that we usually begin with, and we'll just go directly to my sharing since we're starting at a later hour, at a later time. We don't want to have a two-hour meeting starting that late. So again, the sanctuary will be closed October 22nd. until October 29th at 5 p.m. Eastern, but we will open on Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, October 26th, so that we can have gentle healing. Also, next weekend, I won't be here. I will be at the Weekend of Freedom Retreat in North Carolina, which is sponsored by our friends at Open Minds. Now, if you haven't registered for that retreat, but you are interested in it, I would like you to know that this retreat will be available for a small fee through live stream. If you would like to attend the live stream, listen on live stream, then what you can do is contact Cheryl Kaplan for details. Her email is skappi3@gmail.com. Again, I just put that in the room. That's skappi3@gmail.com. I've also put it in the room. Or you could try calling her at 216-952-2691 and learn more about how to attend that retreat on live stream. And again, I'm the speakers at that retreat. John Mundy will be there. John Mark Straub will be there. Jennifer Hadley will be there. Donna Marie Carey will be there as a musician, as well as others. So if you're interested in the live stream, contact Cheryl for information about how to participate. Oh, yeah, Maureen Muldoon will be there. Yeah. Also, I want to let you know that we will have two satsangs this month. Typically, we have one satsang every month, but it's just kind of worked. A few things got scheduled. Like we had Bentinho for August, we had Igor for September, and then Mary Reed for October. But then Bentinho rescheduled for September, and then Igor rescheduled for October, and things have just kind of bumped up. So that now we have two satsangs in October. So next Sunday at 7:30 Eastern Time, 4:30 Pacific, Reverend Jay McCormick will interview Igor Kufayev. And let me type his name in the room for those of you who do not know him. Kufayev. And he does play on Awakening Together Radio. So if you listen to the radio, you may have heard some of Igor. There's also a couple of Buddha at the Gas Pump interviews with Igor. So next Sunday at 7:30, Jay will interview Igor. And then the following Sunday, Reverend Jacqueline Eckert will interview Mary Reed. So two Sundays in a row starting next week. We have satsang at, that's actually, yes, 7:30 Eastern Time, 4:30 Pacific Time. Now, for those of you who do not know Igor Kufayev, Igor is an artist, an Advaita Tantra teacher, and the founder of a spiritual community called Flowing Wakefulness. And for over a decade now, Igor has been serving as a conduit of transmission for awakening towards the era of a new heart-centered consciousness. Igor speaks from direct realization of oneness, and he inspires all seekers of truth to recognize the fullest potential that is present in this current human birth. And again, Rick Archer loves him. He's interviewed him a couple of times, so Jay will interview him here next Sunday. Many have been touched by grace and awakened in Igor's presence as he continues working towards building a global community to serve as a container for exploring possibilities for alternative consciousness-based culture. And then the following week will be our second satsang with Mary Reed. Jacqueline interviewed Mary Reed in January, so if the name sounds familiar, that might be why. Mary Reed is an accidental mystic who, following 11 years of profound involuntary visions and insights into divine realms, surrendered her executive life in Washington, D.C. to explore her spiritual gifts in a remote Buddhist nunnery in India. She is coming back to Awakening Together to share an updated message of clarity. So that is 2 weeks from tonight. So again, the next two Sundays, 7:30 Eastern Time, satsang. And then, of course, Craig Holiday will be here tonight and every Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time for our weekly satsang. So lots going on here on Sunday evenings this month, even though we're going to be closed part of the month. A lot going on. With that said, I am ready to move on to our opening inspirational song. I picked this song because what I'm going to talk about today is the spiritual ego and how Awakening Together's core values help us to transcend the spiritual ego. So this song is a funny song by Scott Grace. It's based on Carly Simon's You're So Vain, but it's about the spiritual ego. It's a comic song, and it's called You're So Light. So here's Scott Grace, You're So Light.
This song was inspired by a book title I saw one day called When God Becomes a Drug. And it was a very eye-opening title, and I remembered that most of my 20s, God was a drug for me. Bliss was a drug. I was always seeking the highest level of bliss. I was a bliss bunny. And I know there's a lot of people who are in that stage of development where it's very difficult to own your shadow, to be honest about the fearful side of life, and you just want the light. And so I wrote this song for all those recovering blissaholics out there, such as myself. You walked into the ashram like you were walking into a cloud. Your hair strategically shaved right off your head. Your aura so well endowed. You climbed aboard your astral plane as you laid your body down. And all your friends thought that you were enlightened. You were enlightened and you're so light. You probably think you don't have a shadow. You're so light. I bet you think you don't have a shadow. Don't you? Don't you? Well, whenever you start feeling pain, you give it real quick to God. And you stay away from energy drains like relatives or real jobs. You stay in bliss most of the time. And when you're not, it's hard paying the bills that aren't worth your attention. Worth your attention, and you're so light. You probably think you're close to ascending. You're so light. I bet you think you're close to ascending. Don't you? Don't you? Well, you say your prayers before love making, that your sexual energy is get channeled to your heart chakra, and that you don't catch a disease. Well, the tantra keeps you on the earth and off the Pleiades, and in your passion you scream out, oh goddess, scream out, oh goddess, and you're so light. You probably think you don't have a shadow. You're so light. I bet you think you don't have a shadow. Don't you? Don't you? I love that song. I'm glad you did too. The people who were laughing were drowning out the people who weren't.
All right. So that's a fun song, I think. Yeah, it's a fun song. Been there, done that, wore the t-shirt. All right. So now we're going to try to go, and I'm sure we can easily go, from laughter to prayer, because it is time for our opening invocation, the big word, invocation. So, why don't we close our eyes? I'll be silent for just a moment until the prayer comes. I want to say thank you for the humor. And I also want to say thank you for the seriousness. There's a place for both on this spiritual path. Ooh. We're here today to talk about what I call the spiritual ego. It's the ego that identifies with being a spiritual person. And it's an ego trick. It just keeps separation alive. It just keeps us identified with an individual as who I am. It's just the mind chattering in a new way that it's learned to chatter in since we've been on the spiritual path. So it's wonderful to take ourselves lightly. And as we do, let us see our own spiritual ego. Realize it is not what we want. It is not why we were on the spiritual path. And just let it go, so we can get on with the business that we came here for. The business of awakening to one life as what we are. Amen. All right, and so now what I'm going to do is I'm going to turn the mic over to Reverend Ruby Nasser. And Ruby is actually going to read today from our website. She's going to read the page that introduces our purpose and our core values. So Ruby, the mic is yours.
Thank you, Regina. Can everybody hear me? Yes, perfect. I'm clear, very clear. Yes. 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 Can I have one more? Yes.
Hi, Ruby. We were hearing you, and you were very clear. But right after you said, can I have one more yes, you dropped the mic. So the mic is yours.
Okay. I'm starting again. The mic wants to let go. Okay. The purpose and values. There is consistent wisdom in the universe. It shows up in all religions, in philosophy, and in all cultures throughout time. This wisdom is not unique or new. It is owned by no one and by no organization. No one has to go to a special place or a special teacher to find it. It is the most abundant wisdom in the universe. Once one opens his heart to this wisdom, it appears everywhere by the hand of universal grace. There is also a way of not seeing universal wisdom. We all have the ability to be distracted from it by self-limiting and segmenting beliefs. What is awakening together? Awakening together is a universal assembly of peers dedicated to recognizing and embracing universal wisdom, regardless of the form in which it appears. We are also dedicated to recognizing the ways we deny universal wisdom, adopting personal beliefs and biases. We want to recognize these limitations so we can free ourselves from them and be open to the continuous flow of universal wisdom. Our purpose. We are assembly of equals. Join in common purpose, awakening to one true self. Within an appearance of many faiths, many cultures, and many symbols, we seek to discern one truth and to rest in its embrace. Our core values. Number one, we trust everyone is led by unique inner guidance to one experience called awakening, which is realization of one true self. We live this value by supporting one another on different paths of awakening. Number two, we realize everyone is equal. Everyone is equal. And no one has been given spiritual intuition that is an authority over the spiritual intuition of others. We live this value by listening to each other, respecting each other, and allowing each one to be where he is. Number three, we accept one true self, which is one presence or being, non-dual, without beginning or end, and absolutely changeless. We live this value by practicing letting go of the belief in the individual self as who we are. Number four, we affirm one true self as the only truth. We live this value by embracing what is helpful on the path of awakening without idolizing any spiritual doctrine as truth. And number five, we accept all forms as temporary appearances permitted through enduring awareness of self. We live this value by honoring all appearances and all experiences while continually reflecting on changeless truth. Thank you. I'm giving up the mic.
Thank you very much, Ruby, and thank you for reading slowly, which gives us the time to contemplate what we're hearing. And also, let's see, thank you to Barb for putting that full text into the sanctuary. So some of you may have heard the story of how this purpose and core values came, but some of you maybe haven't. I don't recall telling the story recently. So let me just start with the story. First of all, in December of 2011, Jay and I went to India for a three-week personal retreat, meaning we didn't go to a retreat. We went to Ramana Ashram and spent hours every day in the meditation hall there at the ashram. And then we also did walking around the mountain and other things later in the day. As we were leaving India to return, we were flying out of Bangalore, and our flight was delayed by 3 hours by fog. And in fact, we actually sat in the plane for 3 hours. We were in the plane for 3 hours waiting for the fog to clear so that we could take off. And I had the book, The Seven Steps to Awakening, with me. I was just beginning it. It was like in the very first few quotes. And so I opened up that book, and I had taken it with me to India thinking I would look at it, and I really didn't. But I opened it up while we were sitting on the plane. And I felt, in that time, I felt this strong feeling, which I took to be guidance. This strong feeling to take the next year off from my work and to spend every day contemplating the seven steps to awakening. And so when I got back, I made that announcement because I needed to tell people, hey, I'm not going to be available for a year. We were in ACIM Gather at the time. And so I made that announcement that I was pretty much taking a year off in order to contemplate. And I did that. And so for a full year, you know, for 5, 6, 7 hours a day, I contemplated the seven steps to awakening and wrote in my journal, my online journal. And a lot of clarity, you know, it's one of those giant step forward years, right? At the very end of that year, in the last 2 weeks, in December of 2012, I began to receive guidance to start a church, which at first, I'll be honest, I didn't like. Didn't like the idea of starting a church. But I began to receive guidance to start a church. And I knew the name of the church would be Awakening Together. But I didn't have much else. And this particular memory is a little fuzzy. I remember I was standing in the kitchen. I'd already said yes to the guidance to start a church. You know, I wasn't going to say no to guidance. Well, it's guidance. I always say yes. So I had said yes to the guidance, but I didn't really know anything else. And I was standing in the kitchen talking to Danielle. And all of a sudden, the purpose and core values just started coming. And in fact, they came so quickly, I grabbed the nearest thing, which was a napkin. And I wrote them down on the napkin. I mean, that's how fast they came. And that's where our purpose and core values were born. This was also in, I think, December of 2012, before I really told much of anyone about the guidance. And I knew, without a doubt, when that purpose and those core values came, I, even though there was guidance to start a church, and you know, I couldn't, of course, couldn't envision where we're at now, but I knew that other people would be involved with the word church. I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that those core values were for my purification. I knew that I had developed a spiritual ego. And I knew that every one of those core values, all five of them, were designed to clear out my spiritual ego. So the other day, somebody said something to me, and I said, well, you know, our core value, such and such, will help with that. That's what that was designed for. I used to be like that, and this core value helped me. And I thought, well, you know, maybe it's time just to reshare the core values with everyone, right? Kind of look at why we have these core values. Now, so many organizations, you know, often business organizations, but so many organizations out there are built on a purpose and core values, and those core values just hang on a wall somewhere. And you know, it, as time goes on, once they're announced, you know, nobody pays attention to them anymore. And really, our core values are core to what Awakening Together is. Core. And we don't want to forget about them. We don't want to just have them on the website on a page that we never look at and just run off in another direction. So today, I just want to go over again our purpose and our core values. But I feel like the focus is really the core values. That feels in my heart like the focus of today. But let me just read our purpose over to begin, because it was the first thing written on the napkin. We are an assembly of equals joined in common purpose, awakening to one true self. And you know, I'm ahead of you all in the Gentle Healing Group. I'm about a week ahead of you because I do that so that I can write the tips and have them available for you. But I will tell you that my contemplation today, which will be yours in about a week, maybe a little under a week, my contemplation today is really contemplating what one true self is. Contemplating that it's one life. That the life awareness in a cockroach is the same one life that I am. That the life awareness in a tree is the same one life that I am. And awakening to that life awareness, you know, another word for it is the Tao. And I know some of you are going through the Tao class right now. Another word for it is the Tao. The Tao is prior to the 10,000 things, right? The course actually refers to the 1,000 things. The Tao, the truth of what we are, is prior to that, and it's included in that, right? Which means there's no way that I am Regina and you are who you think you are. These are temporary appearances, which our core values address. But we're this one life that's before Regina and after Regina. I think there's a Zen cone that people contemplate that says something like, what was my face before my parents were born? Right? That's contemplating that one true self, that life. What was my face before my parents were born? Right? So that's our purpose, is to realize ourselves as this one true self. And you'll see that built into our core values. So we are an assembly of equals joined in common purpose, awakening to one true self within an appearance of many faiths, many cultures, and many symbols. We seek to discern one truth and to rest in its embrace. That's the core of what we are. So this does kind of define us to a point, you know, because You know, I said when we first introduced ourselves as Awakening Together, I said that, you know, maybe the church out there that's the most similar to us is Unitarian Universalist, but there's a difference between us and Unitarian Universalist. Unitarian Universalist does not have one purpose like that. You can be going to Unitarian Universalist and without any intention at all of realizing one true self, right? Your focus could be Wicca, for example, or what they call humanism. You know, are you just going to die and you die and that's the end, but you want to be a good person while you're here, right? We have this purpose that we all share. We all have it in common. That purpose binds us together. So now let's look at our core values. Number one, we trust everyone is led by unique inner guidance to one experience called awakening, which is realization of one true self. All right, so there's quite a bit in that little bitty sentence. First of all, we picked a word, awakening. You know, like Michael Langford refers to manonessa. Some people refer to enlightenment. Right? There may be other words. I think there are other words like in Zen Buddhism, Satori, I think. Is that right? In Hinduism, it would be Samadhi. Right? We've picked a word. It's awakening. But we define what awakening is. Awakening is realization of that one true self. Right? Awakening is realizing myself as the one life that has lived through all things. Let me see. I think NTI Colossians really states it well. Let me pull out NTI Colossians real quick. Of course, I don't do anything real quick anymore. Here we go. Okay. It says, you are the flow that is the first and the last, the beginning and the end, the creator of all things within time. You are the heavens and the earth, the bees and the sunshine. You are the process that made all things and is all things, so that they live through the process that created them. You are the flow of life and separate from nothing that is life, for that which flows through them is the process that you are. You are beyond concepts and differences and form, and within the life force that is all things. So awakening is realizing I am that. I am life. I am life awareness, including the life awareness in a cockroach, right? That's what I am. And that's how we have defined awakening. So we trust everyone is led by unique inner guidance to one experience called awakening, which is realization of one true self. So what our core value says, everyone is led by unique inner guidance. That means, although there is one awakening, there are many ways of getting there, for lack of better words, many ways of having that genuine awakening. And so we don't ever want to make the mistake of thinking my way is the way. And this is the first place where, you know, if we really focus on this core value, we clear out our spiritual ego. Because it's always the spiritual ego that thinks my way is the right way. You know, if meditation is my way is meditation. If you don't meditate, it's not going. You're not going to get there, right? Or, you know, some students of A Course in Miracles say, well, you know, the course is the meditation will take forever, that forgiveness is the way, forgiveness is the right way, right? But then meditation, people who meditate with closed eyes say open eyes don't work. People with open eyes say, you know, open eyes is better. You know, you hear all of this. And yet, people have awakened from all of those methods. If you study awakenings, right? If you study awakenings, there's such an incredible variety. Yeah, there are many paths up the mountain, is how it's saying. So the first way that we clear out our spiritual ego is by abiding by our first core value. If we abide by our first core value, that part of the spiritual ego that says my way is better than your way, it can't exist. There's not room for that if we abide by that core value. And in fact, the core value goes on to say, we trust everyone is led by unique inner guidance to one experience called awakening, which is realization of one true self. And then it tells us how to live this value. We live this value by supporting one another on different paths of awakening. You know what that means, supporting one another on different paths? That literally means that if someone is in the sanctuary, it's their half hour or it's their Sunday, they're the minister, it's their time to share, and they're sharing something that just doesn't feel right for you, you support them because it feels right for them. Think about that. Think about how that clears out the spiritual ego. Think about that. You're going to have to jump right over or right through the spiritual ego to support someone who is all excited about a teaching that doesn't feel right for you. This is not only thinking, okay, I know my way is not the only way, there are other ways too. This is living, okay, I know my way is not the only way, there are other ways too. The spiritual ego is a snob. Really. I'm sure we've all felt the energy. We all know what it feels like. You know, we can, you know, push our noses up in the air because we've all been there, right? Snob. My way is the way. That book you're reading is not going to get you there, right? Right. Oh my gosh, that person is too intellectual. I just can't listen to all that intellectual chatter that's happening with that one, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But what do our core values say? Now, again, we are bound by one purpose. And so if it's taught here, it doesn't mean that the sanctuary is a free-for-all. The sanctuary is not a free-for-all. Whatever anybody teaches here, whatever anybody is exploring here, needs to be moving towards that awakening as we've defined it, awakening to one true self. But there are many, many ways that people do that. And what we do is we support them. We even applaud them in their own exploration, even if their exploration is going in a direction that's different than our exploration. No snobbery. And can you see how this core value will clear out? If you live it, how it will clear out the spiritual ego. I encourage you to show up for people that maybe if the mind has said, oh, I don't want to listen to her or him because, you know, they're just going in a different direction than me. Show up for her or him, whoever that one is, and support her or him. It doesn't mean you have to agree with them, but support them, and you clear out your own spiritual ego. As far as choosing, you know, when people want to teach in the sanctuary, they have to apply, you know, and that's because we want to make sure their teaching is in alignment with our purpose and core values. But as far as choosing, we don't choose them based on, are they teaching from the same books that Regina's using in Gentle Healing, or are they, it's just a matter of, Are they aligned with our purpose and our core values? I mean, there are a couple teachings here that certainly I wouldn't have picked in a million years. But I'm also not going to say they can't be in the sanctuary because apparently they're working for that person. Right? So again, our core value number one, we trust everyone is led by unique inner guidance, to one experience called awakening, which is realization of one true self. We live this value by supporting one another, actually supporting one another. Oh my God, that's just so deep. You know, it's not tolerating one another. It's not, yeah, I know that's going on in the sanctuary, but you know, and it's okay, but I'm not going to go, right? It's actually supporting one another. Supporting to me sounds like encouraging, right? We live this value by supporting one another on different paths of awakening. Number two, we realize everyone is equal and no one has been given spiritual intuition that is an authority over the spiritual intuition of others. As you all know, it's very common for a church to have a minister at its head that is the one who does the interpreting and does the preaching, and everybody else follows the minister. And if you don't like the minister, you go to a different church, right? Well, Awakening Together has been completely set up to hopefully prevent that. First of all, this is one reason why we allow many ministers. If there's many, there can't be just one. Does that make sense? It doesn't mean that only ministers have clarity. That's just not true either, right? We realize everyone is equal. It doesn't say we realize our ministers are equal, right? We realize everyone is equal. But if we only have one minister, imagine what the tendency might be. Can you see it? Can you imagine it? If we only have one minister, because it's just kind of the tendency of the ego and of the tradition in our culture, then we might perceive that one as the leader. Yeah, guruify. Cult of personality, Jay is saying. So we have many, many ministers. Any Awakening Together member who wants to be a minister and who goes through the process of becoming a minister can be a minister. And any Awakening Together minister who says, I want to be in the Sunday morning rotation can be in the Sunday morning rotation. The reason the ones that are here now are here now is because they're the ones that said, sure, I'll do it. Right? But we realize everyone is equal. And no one has been given spiritual intuition that is an authority over the spiritual intuition of others. And again, not just our ministers, but we have many ministers to overcome the tendency of one minister. I'm being asked, are you starting a ministerial program soon? Not real soon. We just started one, however. They're in their fourth class now. And if someone wanted to take the ministerial program, you could start with them in their fifth class and still get the majority of the program with them. And then we can go back and get your first four classes at a later time. So if you are interested in the ministerial program, please feel free to write to me and I'll put you on the list to be invited to register. So just write me at reginadawnakers@yahoo.com. Because yeah, there is a class that just recently started and we can add you to it. Perfect. All right, so back to the core values. We realize everyone is equal and no one has been given spiritual intuition that is an authority over the spiritual intuition of others. Now, again, we don't just think this. We live it. We live this value by listening to each other, respecting each other, and allowing each one to be where he or she is. Again, the tendency of the spiritual ego would be, my intuition is more right than your intuition. Right? Just like my path is more right than your path. Right? The ego is always right. That's at least that's what it thinks. So we live the value of recognizing that everyone's spiritual intuition is equal by listening to everyone, by respecting everyone, and by allowing each one to be where he or she is. You know, if somebody happens to be an Awakening Together minister, for example, and they want to teach on Sunday mornings, they want to join the rotation, and yet they seem to kind of be in a different place from the other ministers, as long as what they're teaching is pointing towards our purpose, that one gets to be a minister on Sunday mornings. And we listen to that one, and we respect that one, and we allow that one to be where he or she is. You know how I got here to where I am now? By being where I was every step along the way. And that's how everybody else got to wherever you are now too, right? So we need to allow everyone to be right where they're at fully every step along the way. And we respect that. We don't just tolerate it. We respect it. You could even say we honor it. Our third core value, we accept one true self, which is one presence or being, non-dual, without beginning or end, and absolutely changeless. Our attempt at defining the undefinable so we could put it on paper, right? That's what we accept. And we live this value by practicing letting go of the belief in the individual self as who we are. You know, I need to look at who I think I am. What do I think my preferences are? What do I think my desires are? What do I think my judgments are? What do I think is right and wrong? What do I think is good and bad? What do I think should be or should not be? Right? That's the lesson you guys are on today, I believe. And let that go, because that's not who I am. The truth is, this one value would take care of all the other values, because it's who I am that's going to say that book you're reading from is not as good as the book I'm reading from, right? So if I'm letting go of who I am, letting go of my thoughts and opinions, I see that. That's an identified thought. I let it go, and you know, and that's that. But the reason we're letting go of who we think we are is in this core value. It's because I'm not this person. I'm not this collection of thoughts and opinions and desires and values. I'm not this body. I'm the one life. The one life that lives in those birds I can hear outside my window right now. And the fact that I'm identified with this body limits me. The fact that I'm identified with this personality mind limits me. I want to know myself as the unlimited life in all things. And so every time I notice that I'm attached to an idea which really is limited to Regina, I let it go, let it go, let it go. Because I need to let go of all of those limiting biases and beliefs in order to realize the truth of what I am. This is not trying to be a bigger me, a me that you all respect and think highly of. It's trying to be no me. Or as John the Baptist said after baptizing Jesus, it's time for me to become less, that he may become more. In this case, not a physical he, but what is often referred to as the Christ, the life awareness that is all things. It is time for me to become less, that my awareness of life awareness as what I am can become more. In that way, even if you insult me, you help me. Because I can look at what's insulted in me and let it go. After all, you were just insulting a body or a personality or a mind. You were not insulting life awareness. You weren't even attempting to insult life awareness. You were attempting to insult a body, a personality, or a mind. And it's to the degree that I think I am that body, personality, I may feel insulted. But if I am trying to let go of myself and realize the truth, the insult is just another opportunity to let go. Yeah, every day I die a little more. Our fourth core value, we affirm one true self as the only truth. Look at that. We've been talking about this one true self, this life awareness that is all things. That's the only truth. Only, only, only. That means everything else is not true. We affirm one true self as the only truth. We live this value by embracing what is helpful in the path of awakening without idolizing any spiritual doctrine as truth. Right? We don't idolize A Course in Miracles as the truth. We don't idolize NTI as the truth. We don't idolize the teachings of Nisargadatta Maharaj as the truth. We don't idolize, you know, I could go on, but I won't. We use all that stuff. Whatever's feeling useful in the moment, whatever we're called to, we use every bit of it. But none of it is the truth. And again, the ego most definitely wants to say, well, you know, I found another interpretation of the Bible, but it's nothing like NTI. NTI is the truth. This one over here that somebody does not do, right? Say, no, NTI is not the truth either. None of it's the truth. None of it, none of it, none of it. The Course is not the truth. You know? The words of Ramana Maharshi or Nisargadatta Maharaj are not the truth. The truth is this one non-dual, non-changing life awareness. Only that is true. And if we stick with that, then we can take all of our spiritual guides lightly. And if somebody else doesn't like them, that's fine. Because, you know, this is just my spiritual guide right now. Right? It's not the truth. It's not for everyone. You know, we take our spiritual guides lightly, whether they're books or teachers or both. Again, this is clearing out the spiritual ego. Because it's the spiritual ego that wants to cling to our spiritual guides and make them important. Right? And then our last core value. We accept all forms as temporary appearances. Okay, that includes Regina Dawn Akers and whoever you appear to be. It includes all of our bodies, personalities, their temporary appearances. That includes whatever's happening in politics. It's a temporary appearance. That includes whatever's happening with the weather or the natural forces, earthquakes, tornadoes, hurricanes. Those are temporary appearances. Just everything. We accept all forms as temporary appearances, permitted. They're permitted. Y'all have heard of the loving all method, right? This permitted is really the same thing. There's nothing that we reject. There is nothing that we reject. We accept all forms as temporary. We see them as temporary. They're coming and going, but they are permitted through enduring awareness of self. We remain focused on life awareness, which never changes as what we are. We realize life awareness that never changes is what all things are, and we permit the temporary changes that occur. We do not reject any of them. We permit them, accept them, allow them, love them, and stay focused on the truth at the same time. We accept all forms as temporary appearances permitted through enduring awareness of self. And then again, how do we live this value so we aren't just saying it? We live this value by honoring all appearances and all experiences while continually reflecting on changeless truth. How do you honor appearance or experience, right? If you're on a jury and somebody is being... you know, somebody's been charged with child abuse. You listen to the evidence. and you vote on the jury based on how the evidence appears, whether this person seemed to do this or not do this. You're honoring the appearance. You're playing the game appropriately. But you remain reflected on changeless awareness the entire time. The cops involved are changeless awareness. The other jurors involved, the judge involved, the accused, the lawyers, right? You play the game appropriately while remaining focused on truth. How do you honor hurricane victims, right? You have compassion for their suffering. Assuming you feel guided, you give money. You don't say, oh, that didn't happen. That's not honoring anything. That's not honoring the experience of the individuals. You have compassion for their suffering. If guided, if you really feel to, you give money. And you give as much money as you feel to give, maybe more than your ego would have, right? But you stay focused on changeless truth. Right? You honor all experiences. You don't deny them, but you also don't see them as truth. They're temporary. They come and they go. And any effects they have are also temporary. And you stay focused on that which doesn't change. It's wonderful also to provide service if you feel called to. I know we have at least one member that I think works in a soup kitchen on a regular basis. You know, so if you feel called to, you always follow your own guidance. That's, you know, that's our first core value, right? Or our second core value. You always follow your own guidance, but following your own guidance may involve service out of compassion for others while staying focused on, you don't focus on their suffering, you stay focused on the changeless self, and you realize that they're that too, even while you serve them their soup and watch them walk back out into the cold, right? All right. So those are our core values. I just felt like it was time to kind of look at them again. And let's not forget about our core values. You know, why don't you every now and then go to the website, go to About. You'll see Our Spirituality, About Our Spirituality, and then you'll see Our Purpose and Core Values. And why don't you just review them every now and then? Because every one of you, when you joined Awakening Together, you said that these were also your core values, right? So let's not forget them. They'll keep us kind of walking the straight and narrow, if you don't mind that analogy. They're great guidance. And with that said, I am going to go on and play another song. This is Stay Awake, because we can use our core values to stay awake, right? So this song is Stay Awake by Celtic Woman. And if you like, you may also make a donation. Barb will give you a link so that you can make a donation. Oh, and Angelica is saying that she typed them up and framed them. That's great. Thank you. Yeah. All right. So let me play Stay Awake for us while we contemplate how our core values will help us to stay awake as we walk this path to awakening.
Stay awake, don't rest your head, don't lie down upon your bed. As the moon drifts in the skies, stay awake, don't close your eyes. Stay awake, don't close your eyes. Thank you.
So we only have a few minutes left, but is there someone who would like to share based on our review of our core values today? All right, I'm not seeing any hands going up. So let me, oh wait, there goes Jay. Never mind, I take that back. Jay, the mic is yours.
Yeah, thanks for the message today, Regina. Can everybody hear me? Yeah. I was just attending a really intense retreat recently last weekend out in New Mexico, and from the many hours of practice every day, I describe it as my sandbox is bigger. That what goes on in the field of my awareness, my experience, is just simply okay. I think definitely judgments are some of the tendencies in my mind are gone. And it's been interesting in this last week to see the effect of that. It's really rippled through my life, because when your mind experiences a shift like that, it's different. And maybe it's still there, but it's not there in the way that it was before the shift occurred. And one of those, I could describe that shift as just more openness, like what Regina's describing as allowing appearances to be. Not that I support the behavior of something that I would see that would be destructive or something, but I don't go to a place in my head where that's bad or it's judging or anything like that. It was it's more like staying centered in this really wonderful place. While your eyes may see that occurring, you're not judging, you're not moved to a condemnation place inside. That's what I'm experiencing anyway with it. And it's, I describe it as space, more space inside that I experience. And at least my mind wants to imagine that awakening is just a heck of a lot more of that space, so that all you are is that space. I appreciate the recap and the bolstering and the sort of vivifying of these inspired core values. This was a really awesome message. Thank you, Regina.
Yeah, thank you, Jay. And I think, space is a great word. And in that space, of course, as you said, there is no judgment. There's only natural allowance. That's all that occurs, right? So I want to read what Jackie has written. She says, "Where I am is seeming to apply to this self, allowing myself to be where I am. I am equal, embracing what is helpful. All rises and passes away. No attachment or resistance. I'm to remember who I really am." Thank you, Jackie, for sharing that. And Kathy, commenting on Jay, has written, "Space to relax into what is without resistance." And I noticed that Carla has her hand up, and in a moment, the mic will go to Carla. But what I want to do, we are committed here to honoring the length of time that our weekly gathering lasts. And in fact, even my own family is waiting for me to finish so that we can go to breakfast together. But we do have this half-hour fellowship time that follows. So we are moving into the fellowship time now, and Carla will be able to share as a part of the fellowship time. I just want to again honor that our time is ending, and I'm going to honor just with a really short song. It's about a little less than 2 minutes long. It's called Behold. And actually, I'm going to play a different one. I'm going to play just the heart meditation, I think. It's the same length of time, very quiet. So this is our closing song, and then we'll go into the fellowship half hour. Much. And so now what I will be doing is turning facilitation over to Ken and Rebecca.